Blog Talk Radio.
We entrust ourselves to you, our faithful
and loving God. And we thank you, and we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's get into the praise and worship part of the service. Here we go.
Thank you.
worship part of the service. Now let's dwell on into the message. Amen? All right. It's when God shows up, and it's taking it from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. Let's go with opening prayer for the service. We thank you, Lord, our God, how much good you have poured out on us throughout our lives, Lord, and how much we should thank you every day, Lord. We thank you that again and again we feel your help and know that you can fill our earthly life with what is of heaven, Lord. May your kingdom come over the whole world, Lord, for all people are longing for faith and for mercy and are to be gathered into your house under the staff of a good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Watch over us during the night, Lord. May your help go far and wide into the whole world, Lord. Stand by those who call upon you even when they do not understand how they should pray, Lord. Help us and grant that the Savior may come, Lord, to the glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to start this out kind of like with a story type of joke. Okay? A gross, simple man from South Georgia died and went to hell. Wanted to make an example of him, Satan put him to work breaking up rocks with a sledgehammer. To make matters worse, he cranked up the heat, the humidity. After a few days, the devil went to check on the man to see if he was suffering adequately. But to his chagrin, he found the man whistling in a happy tune as he joyfully swung his hammer. So Satan said, "I don't understand. I've turned up the heat way up. It's so humid, and I'm melting. Why are you happy?" The man replied, "This is great. It reminds me of a hot, humid August day back in Georgia. It's just like home." So Satan decided to change his tactics, so he dropped the tempest and sent a driving rain with torrential wind. Soon hell was in his wet, muddy mess. But when he was checking a man from Georgia, he was slogging happily through the mud, singing a happy song. Irritated, the devil asked how the man could be so happy in such conditions. He replied, "This is great, just like April back in South Georgia. It reminds me of working in the fields during the spring planting season." Baffled, the devil thought he'd try one last thing, so he caused the temperature to plummet to 40 below zero. Hell was a sheet of ice, snow. Confident this had done the trick, he checked on the man only to find him dancing, singing, and twirling his sledgehammer in glee. He asked, "How can you be so happy? Don't you realize hell has frozen?" He says, "Don't you realize hell has frozen over?" To which the man from Georgia replied, "I know, that just means the University of Georgia must have won the national championship." Okay, I know it's never too early to take a dig at UGA. Still, there's a point to the story. How will you respond when the going gets tough? When life gives you lemons, and when things don't go as planned, will you reject or rejoice? Will you trust and obey or doubt and delay? The psalmist wrote, "Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." That's Psalm chapter 118, verse 24. So meaning no matter what happens in our day, we are called to take joy in it. The psalmist reminds us that we can live with joy every day, moment by moment, knowing God is present and working for his good in our lives. So that even when things are tough, when hell seems to be freezing over, we can live in the hope of his presence. But let's be honest, most of us get a little miffed when things don't go as planned. Even more, when things go from bad to worse, we struggle. Such was the challenge Paul and Silas faced in Acts chapter 16. So this story is easily one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's an account filled with brilliant lessons on the heart of worship, on standing for truth, on power of the gospel to save, and on the power and presence of God. This evening, I want to spend a few minutes to consider just what happens when God truly shows up in our life and circumstances. Throughout the Bible, we find amazing accounts of God entering into the human condition to do incredible, destiny-changing things. From the parting of the Red Sea, to David slaying Goliath, to Jonah and the whale, and to Daniel in the lion's den. Whenever God shows up, he shows out. Whenever God shows up, lives are changed. And in every instance, whenever God shows up, he leaves conclusive evidence that he was present. This was absolutely the case in Acts chapter 16. In inexplicably circumstances, God moved in a great way in through Paul and Silas. When these two guys had every reason to call it a day, or even better, blame God for their circumstances, instead of whining and complaining, they worshiped. Instead of playing the woe is me card, they played the great is he card. Instead of licking their wounds, they placed their hope in his hands. Instead of giving up on God, they gave him all they had. And the result was nothing short of miraculous. When God's plan differs from your own plan. Okay, all too often in life, we miss God's will considering our will. We forget that God's will is always about God, even more that God's will for our lives is also about God. But when we enter each day knowing God has a plan that includes our lives being on a mission for him, and we live surrendered to this idea, even when bad things appear to happen, we don't have to lose heart or faith. I'm certain when Paul and Silas got up that a.m., they had every hope that their lives were going to be used for God's glory that day. I am certain they were eager for how God was going to move, and yet when things started to play out over the next few days, they probably were thinking, God, it'll be okay if you take this cup of suffering away from us. In fact, if you recall, they didn't go looking for this girl. She found them. They were on their way to pray when they encountered this ministry of interruption. She irritated them for the next few days until Paul had enough. Once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she was predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for our owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept us up for many days. Point, at the times we become so consumed with what we're doing, we miss what God is doing in through us. We miss the divine encounter he's placing before us because we're consumed with our will. But should we enter each day in every circumstance looking at life through the lens of God's purposes, aligning our will to his will, instead of missing out what God is doing, we'll get to participate in it. When bad things happen to God's people, there's a great misunderstanding in the Christian life that bad things can't happen to God's people, but nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, sometimes it's just the opposite. But when we stand with Christ in Christ-less world, often the world will desire to silence those who put their hope in God, such as the case for Paul and Silas. The moment they stood for God, those were reaping the earthly benefits of this demon-possessed girl took offense and sought remuneration, and what they did to Paul and Silas was brutal. These guys were beaten to the point of death and then thrown into a hole. They were minding their own business serving the Lord when all the hell broke loose. Now, it'd be easy to wonder what sin they committed, but there was no sin on their part. It'd be easy to think they were wrong place at the wrong time, but these guys were right where God called them to be. They might be hard to embrace, but sometimes God allows difficult earthly circumstances for divine eternal outcomes. Sometimes God puts us in a challenging situation to show himself to others. Why? Because God wants all people to know him and to be rescued from lostness. Trials are food for faith to feed on. So the question isn't whether bad things can happen to God's people, but instead, as God's people, how will you respond when bad things happen in your life? I think Paul Silas shows us the way. When the going got tough, they worshiped God. When things turned sour, they turned to the Savior. And the Savior accomplished his will in a miraculous way. God showed up. Now, if I were being honest, I don't know how I might react if I were in their shoes. I'd like to think I would have done as they did. I'd like to think that instead of cursing men, I would have blessed God. I'd like to think that instead of licking my wounds, I'd too worship my Savior. Hymnus, a song of honor to God. It's a direct address of praise and glory to God, a song of praise and adoration. See, there was jugs of a Roman dungeon, beaten, battered, and bloodied. Paul Silas found solace in the arms of the Savior through worship and prayer. And as a result of their seeking God, showed up in a mighty way. So when God shows up, God affords these opportunities for one purpose, so he can show up and act like God. Yet how can we know with certainty that God has shown up? The lost begin to listen. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and their other prisoners were listening to them. Can you imagine? It's the middle of the night, and two guys are singing praises to God. I'm thinking these men weren't too happy, but then something happened. The glory of God began to fall, and all were enamored by God's presence. This is what happens when God shows up. The presence of God overwhelms people. Okay, God's presence shakes lives. Suddenly there is such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. I realize there was a literal earthquake, but I also think there was a faith quake. I believe everyone present were shaken to the core. How else do you explain why no one left the scene? When their chains were loosened, they didn't flee. It was because they had been captured by God. The captives are set free. At once, and all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The third thing that occurs when God shows up is people are set free from sin. Chains and shackles are shattered and the power of sin is overwhelmed. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Despair gives way to grace. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved in your household." This is the best part. When God shows up, people are physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually rescued. Okay? People's lives are retrieved from death to life. People are saved, the faithless, and find forgiveness. Notice the jailer's response. He was so overwhelmed by God's presence, he seeks out what is required to be saved. He says to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to have what you have?" My mother coming to faith. Okay, amen. Okay, well, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we are your children and that your eyes watch over us and see all that is in our hearts. Okay? You hear the requests of each heart and you will answer at the right time, Lord. Stretch out your strong hand to us, Lord, for we are weak and often heavy-hearted, not knowing what to do nor how to find you, Lord. But you are with us in every need, despite all of our faults and shortcomings, Lord. You are with us. You lead us through everything to our life's true goal, until each of us can rejoice over all you have done to the praise of your name, our Father. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you will have a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired traveling down this long, dusty road of never knowing which way to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you're lacking purpose in life and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from something worse, such as addiction to alcohol, drugs, gambling, overeating, sexual immorality. Whatever the issue may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order to do so, guess what, folks? He has to know you. If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So the question is, this evening, do you want to know the Lord Jesus? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, "Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins. And the life that I have lived, I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm not willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen." All right. Okay. Well, let's get into some more music, okay? No, not yet. Let's not get into more music yet. Okay, if you said this prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and you can let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I mean, right now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all his angels, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. Well, let's play some more music. Thank you. prophetic message for today, okay? The Father says today, you are not merely human. You are a new creation. I had to make you a new creation in order to give you access to my glory. You are a new creation, a new species altogether. That is why I called the last Adam and the second man. I concluded that merely human race by the death of the cross. Sin was extinguished on the cross, and I made it possible for you to cross the threshold from that which was cursed to that which is blessed of God. You have been translated from the domain of darkness into the fullness of reality of my kingdom. You have passed from darkness to this light this day. You have passed from death into life. As death could not hold me, it will never hold you. Even sickness cannot hold you, says God, for sickness is limited death. Sickness, if it had its way in your body, would take you down to the grave. Resist sickness as you would resist the devil himself, for all sickness originates from the devil. I can never give you sickness because I don't have any. There's no sickness in heaven. Where must I go to get sickness? If those uninformed scribes and Pharisees are correct in impugning my faithfulness in such a way, I never choose sickness for you. I never choose death or disability for you. I know what I have chosen, and what are you choosing? Choose life, says God, and life more abundantly, for it is life from the death that the cross is all about. Excuse me. I say to you, live and know that your miracle is now. And this devotion goes out to those, this prophetic word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. All right. Okay, well, we've got a caller to press the one key. Let me take it and see who it is. Okay. Hello, 111.
Hey, Ken, what's up? Randy.
Yeah, what's up, Randy?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Hey, I hope you're cutting back on the cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you you've almost weaned yourself off, right? I mean, didn't you tell me you're down to 2 packs now?
No, I'm down to 10 cigarettes a day.
Oh, shit, that's good. Half a pack.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, good, because I worry about you and that cough. Anyways, what I was calling you about is I got some horrible information. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe you could help me, you know, clear the air. That Doug was arrested for child pornography? Did you hear that?
I don't think that's true.
Well, I mean, have you heard anything about it, or you just immediately?
No, I haven't heard anything about it. No.
Oh. Well, then how would you know if it's true or not?
Well, because that doesn't sound like Doug.
Well, Doug sounds like a drunken, crazy person, you know, and he did admit that he touched his daughter, you know. Anyways, I don't want to get into that. I don't want this to be a godly show, but I just wanted to touch on that he at one point in time on Tony Gaga's show admitted to, you know, being arrested for molesting his daughter. So I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to get deeper into that, but that's what happened. Anyways, besides that, how are you doing, Ken?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing really good.
Oh, what's up with Jason? I heard the last show Jason was on, and you know, I wish I would have had a chance to talk to him. Is he doing okay? Is Jason doing okay?
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Oh, good. Do we have any other callers, or is it just me?
It's just you.
Oh, man. Hey, so let's get on to a more personal topic here. So Do you and Tony Farrar sleep in the same bed?
Yes, we do.
Well, that's cool. Good. Who, not to say that there has to be a male and a female kind of situation, but who's the male and who's the female? If you had to put somebody in that position, who would be the male and who would be the female between you two?
If we had to put that in a position.
Yeah, like who would it be? Would you be the male or the female, or would, you know, vice versa? Would it be Tony Farrar? Would he be the male or the female? Who would it be?
It would be me being the male and Tony
F being kind of like the submissive.
Yeah.
One. Oh, okay, that's cool. So you plow him in his butt. Like, essentially, you're the giver. You pitch to him. He catches the – you're on the mound. You throw your penis at him. And
yeah.
He catches it.
Yeah.
God bless that. Amen. That's good. So you toss penises around and all that. Anyways, man, too bad Doug didn't call in, or Jason. I heard so much about Doug. You know, being arrested, and I don't know if that was true, and I hope it's not true. How well do you know Doug?
I just know him through the program. He's been calling in.
You know what?
Oh,
for a
okay.
Sunday show, this is a bunch of crap.
Yeah, this is a Sunday
show. No, and you know,
fuck
no,
you, Tony Ferrari, you sack of shit.
Come on. I'm in the other room listening to the show, and the show is... This is
no one cares, Tony. Shut up. No one cares. You're the catcher.
Let me
get fucked in the ass.
This-
You get fucked in the ass, you queer, you HIV.
And that's the last we'll be hearing from him from now on.
Yep. Okay. Well,
let's hear some holy gospel music.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Let's hear some holy music, yes. we're coming to the end of the road here, okay, for Sunday. I want to announce that there will be no show on Monday. There's never a show on Monday. It's our day of rest. Okay, it's like our Sabbath. Okay, we'll be back Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Hope to see you all then. So I want to say God bless you all. May you have a wonderful and blessed evening. Okay, and so until Tuesday, God bless and have a good evening. Bye-bye, y'all.